What did you do over your holiday? Anything interesting?
Nothing too much. Just hung out with the kids a lot.
Because you took time off beforehand, too.
I did, yeah. I mean, yeah, only I think it ended up being 2 or 3 days with the way Christmas worked out this year. But, yeah, we had a lot of fun.
We haven't really talked about any of this.
Yeah, we went to some museums. We didn't do... Yeah.
We did the Arboretum one night. It was kind of cool.
You did? Did you do that lights thing? Jess always wants to go to that.
Yeah.
The Arboretum's one of those things where we're just, like, incompatible, and she hates that, where I'd rather just go to an actual forest, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. She loves the Arboretum.
All the money.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, it's really nice now. The whole, like we did the whole loop, and then we went in, and they have that, like, restaurant bar.
Yeah.
They can sit and have a glass of wine and watch all the fools outside.
Yeah. The main reason I don't like it is we can't do it with the kids because it's, like, the perfect distance where Cora falls asleep. It's like a 25-minute drive where it's not long.
To get there and back,
which isn't a bad drive. It's just once you go more than 20 minutes, you're almost better off going over an hour with the kids because then at least they get a real nap in,
right.
You know, kind of so to speak.
Right.
25 minutes means they just fall asleep. Then you have to wake them up and they hate you, you know. So that's the main.
We're like, I measured it was 7 minutes from our house to
You're right by it.
Arboretum. So, yeah, it was.
But, like, I haven't done it in forever. The last time I did it, all I remembered was driving through it.
You actually get out, and it's a walking, like a loop, walking loop.
The trails are cool. I do like the trails, and you see, like, a wide variety of trees, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like a guided, like, it's a loop. It's like a mile loop that you do.
Okay.
Ends up at the gift shop and the bar. So it's like going to a zoo. It's like,
and your forest does not have a gift shop or a bar.
Right. That's what you're lacking, Sean.
Yeah.
So
If you bring it.
Yeah.
Well, that's also a good point.
Yeah.
Bring your own bar.
I was also going to bring up along the same lines as Christmas. Any just crazy gifts?
Well, should we start first, or?
Oh, I think we're starting.
We are the Worldwide IT guys. I'm Steve.
I'm Gavin.
John.
This is Sean.
Excellent. We are here for podcast number 17. I tried to sort of combine two, but I decided against that. So this is 17. Welcome to the Worldwide IT guys. We were just talking about all of our fun holiday time. So, John, you had more to go into?
Well, I was just going to say, did anyone get any, like, gifts that were, like, outrageous? So you, like, I am not going to wear that sweater, like...
I got something like that, yeah.
I did, too. And my wife actually warned me ahead of time. She's like, okay, my dad got really excited and bought all of his son and son-in-law's, like, Jedi T-shirts.
Oh, so I got almost the same exact thing from my...
But the thing is, he was so excited he bought all extra larges.
Oh, so you're
and
safe.
I'm... not an XL. Even though as hard as I tried or break to get there, I did not get an XL. So my wife just told me, she's like, just act excited. You'll never wear it.
Yeah.
But he got all XLs. So
I got from my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law likes to buy me Star Wars T-shirts, which is fine. But there was such a run on Star Wars T-shirts that there was only one left. And it looks like this weird... It's a hilarious shirt. It almost looks like something a hipster would wear, ironically. Mm-hmm. And it's Darth Vader, Boba Fett, and some other bad guy. I can't remember which, but it's like the bad guy, the hunter, the hunted. And it's like sparkly and everything.
Someone in this room wants it.
Oh, really?
I'm just saying. I don't know who that'd be.
Gavin.
Nope.
I just have so many T-shirts. I'm trying to get rid of T-shirts.
I'm the same way.
You know, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's working in IT. I also do comedy shows, and they give you free. It's just so easy to fall into free T-shirts. And then one day you realize, like, I have a T-shirt for every day of the year. And I only wear four of these. And what am I doing?
You know?
Well, you just got to rotate them.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Or, donate them. You could actually be giving and helps.
Well, that's what I'm going
to
do.
Well, you can. I use them to like clean around the house. My bikes sometimes.
I have so many of like
the cotton ones are good to clean. Bikes and things.
But. So you guys got Star Wars stuff. I did get something Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I have taken to, you know, finding a way to wear interesting socks. That's my goal, is to find boring something socks. That's not boring sock wise. And so my mom brought me R2-D2 socks.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, I wore them a couple of times and went, this doesn't feel, you know, stripes and interesting weird things on socks are one thing, but I don't know, R2-D2.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's just the whole geek thing, and I'm a geek enough. I don't need help to be, hey, look at that guy. Here comes a geek. So that was my big Star Wars win. What did you get that Star Wars, Kevin?
Actually, nothing Star Wars, but I did get some really sweet socks, and I happen to be wearing them right now. My mom got me some Lincoln socks.
See, that's awesome.
Cool.
It's Abraham Lincoln of his leg.
I got my Blackhawk socks. Yep.
Oh, yeah? That's cool, too.
All very nice. I like the Lincoln socks.
Yeah, pretty classy.
So did you get anything that's like, meh?
No, not really. Nothing crazy.
No?
They got me a French press and some coffee, and... yeah.
A French press is for coffee? What is a French press for?
Yeah. Basically, it's just a glass big cup.
Uh-huh.
And you basically put the coffee and water in, you up and down.
Plunge pot. Yes. Have you heard
it's
that?
Very trendy, very hipster.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is like one of the best ways to make coffee.
It is.
Does it actually make a better cup, or is it just...
That's what they say.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
And it's cheap. It's not expensive.
Because probably, but that's also probably because the beans are fresher and so on, right? Because they're not ground.
But I know guys who have to have the exact temperature before they pour it in.
Oh, really?
They have to pump it like 2 exact times and let it sit for... they've had it down to a science, and if you don't follow the directions, it just messes it up.
Aren't there purists that say that, no, the French press is dead, it's the pour-over is actually
the pour
a better
over,
option.
Yeah. Most places do pour-overs now.
Pour-over is where you want to go.
What's the polo? Is that when you have grounded up beans and you just pour it over that? Or?
Yeah, pretty much what your percolator, but your drip coffee maker would do.
Yeah,
you just do it yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not that good at coffee.
It's actually pretty easy. It's really no fuss, so it's nothing.
Do you drink your coffee straight?
I put milk in it.
Really?
Yeah. But I didn't get any ridiculous gifts, but I bought myself some like just really amazingly awesome ridiculous things.
like
I bought a violin. I decided I should probably play the violin. I don't really know how to read sheet music or have never played an instrument.
So you picked like probably one of the hardest instruments to go with learning how to read sheet music. Why not?
Yeah, and just physically to hold. Like it'll take me probably months just to be able to hold it properly. No frets.
Do you play the guitar? Do you have a previous instrument experience?
String-wise?
Do keyboards count?
Well, that's technically a string instrument, isn't it? Technically?
No, I mean a computer. Like
those keyboards. So I thought you meant a piano.
Not at all. But I'm going to take lessons, so they're starting pretty soon.
Do you just carry it to the coffee shop and...
Yeah. You know what? And I carry my old school typewriter and like a record player.
And then do you have your yoga mat with you as well?
Yes. With a really cool case. Yeah.
So you actually did establish lessons. You're going to some place.
Going to Old Town School.
The folk. Yeah, exactly. That's the one.
That's the best place to go.
That's what everyone said.
Yeah.
It is cool.
Yep. Good for you.
You're set.
I'm excited.
That's very good.
But I bought it. I was like, what the fuck did I just do? So, but now I have to go through with it. I can't just.
I did the same thing I won a Super Bowl raffle.
Okay.
Like a square.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to learn how to play guitar.
Cool.
And I went out and bought a guitar and have not learned.
How long have you owned the guitar?
A long time.
Don't tell me this. Say you loved it and you're playing
guitar. Yeah.
Or say you got it like 3 weeks ago. And,
right. Well, Super Bowl.
Maybe you two could compose like a new theme for the podcast
Like
a new little string song to start every episode with.
Yes, please do that. Yeah. That would be awesome.
They said it's going to sound like screeching cats for many, many months. So maybe in like 2 years' time, I'll.
And do you have neighbors up below you?
Below me, but the sound's pretty good. I don't really hear anything. I'm sure they hear me stomping around, but I'm on the top floor, so I don't care.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Violin sound travels up.
That's right.
It does.
It's like heat. You know?
Just good sign.
Yeah. this is a little off topic, but just talking about music and us, I saw something that made me think of Dion, who's not here, but you know how Dion went to that second Motley Crue concert, which he talked about on the podcast, because
yes.
the thing he came up in broke.
Yes.
Well, I'm starting to think that Motley Crue's tech group is not really like the A-team, because I don't know if you saw the headline. They had like their final concert in L.A., like their final ever concert. It was in L.A., I think at the Hollywood Bowl or something like that. And apparently, I didn't watch the video. I just saw the headline for it. But I guess, what's their drummer's name that married Pamela Anderson?
Tommy Lee.
Thank you. I guess he at some point he plays in like this roller coaster machine where he's playing drums.
He spins
around. And the whole drum set.
That's the thing that basically this roller coaster like track that Tommy Lee goes on. This is what Dion did. He did the cruise nest thing that kind of runs with it. Doesn't go the full loop and it doesn't do all the craziness that Tommy Lee does. But yes, that is.
So apparently during one of their last shows, it broke and Tommy Lee was like frozen and like swearing up a storm, you know, because he's mic'd and everything.
Oh, wow.
So like, I'm wondering if this is just like really, you know, maybe like when the crew first introduced it in 1996, it was like the greatest. drum set roller coaster in all the world, and now they're just still
using it. It's literally that old now. It's the same bloody thing. They haven't upgraded it.
It's been vomited on millions of times.
You know what's going to happen? You're going to see it at your next local fair next year. It's going to be retired to the last fling or whatever the carnival is.
Oh, I love this. I didn't realize. I mean, what did they give those guys? Because Dion, they had their problem, and they got a second time to go through it. They went to Cleveland or whatever they did, right?
Went to Toledo.
What did the people from L.A. get? Are they going to do another last ever show?
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Just put them out of their misery. End it.
They got a free real life Spinal Tap moment. You can't top that. that's priceless.
Well, that might be your take on it, but like fans, I don't know.
You're probably right.
Sean, I can't get over it. So yesterday you had this full beard.
Oh,
and you looked great.
Thank you.
And now you look not the same.
Well, I don't have the beard anymore. I went to trim it. And it like shorted out or something, and it grabbed a couple hairs in like the wrong way, and then I jolted, and then it like shaved a line, and I'm like, all right. Well, I asked Jess, I'm like, you think how bad is it? Like,
so you had one little swipe.
One little swipe, but she's like, I would just shave it all off.
She's like, you're not leaving the house.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right, fine, I'll shave it all off. So then I start shaving on the side that it's broke, and then it just straight up stops working halfway through. So now I have like, and it wasn't even halfway through, like it might have been an artistic statement. It was like in this weird, like it looked like the Big Dipper of hair coming down from my ear. And I'm like, oh, this is bad, you know, like because it's what, it was 8 a.m. I'm thinking like, I don't know where I could buy one of these to finish up, but I disassembled it and there was like hair in the actual clippers, and I cleaned all that out, and then it started working again, and I was on my way.
I think you totally should have come. I mean, you're the man that like, purposefully did a comb over.
Yeah.
Right? So half a beard or even a bizarro beard would have been great.
On another day, I might have. I have a show, a one-man show tonight, and I don't know. Like, I feel like it's weird. Like, when I had a comb over, that was easy because I would just wear a hat when I perform. I feel if you look super weird and you get in front of people to do a public speech, you have to address why you look so weird in the opening moments, you know, because that's all people are thinking about.
Unless it's part of the, you know, just
sure. I do want to have a comb over back. I think comb overs are hilarious. I think they're
Jess will never allow it.
She won't, but now I'm thinking about like, well, could I, if I just now she's grown on, I shave my head now, I just shave my head and she is okay with that. She used to not want me even shaving my head. But now I'm thinking like, could I fashion, like could I get like a rock star's wig and like cut out the middle? Almost do like a reverse wig and create like a wigged comb over. I also, or I'd also like to wear like a really bad, hilarious 1970s wig. But you know, I don't know. I just think it's sort of funny that I remember growing up, like I feel in America, we've come to the conclusion. I feel like it was in a lot of ways Sex and the City that told us this. Like if you're going bald, just shave your head. And America agreed, okay, you're right, that does look better.
Yeah.
And but when I was growing up, I remember like all these different solutions men would try that were hilarious, I thought, like the comb over.
Or just get two bad toupees.
Bad toupees. You know, yeah. Sometimes you still see old guys in the food court who came up from that generation who have hilariously bad toupees. You
right.
know?
Trump.
Yeah, Trump is a great example. Yeah. Might be our president. Yeah.
Yeah, so I thought it was humorous this morning when we about to start a call, and Steve's like, Sean's running late, and he's having a problem with his clippers. And I was like, I thought I've heard everything. Because usually, I mean, we keep tallies of how many emails we say you're running late.
Yeah.
And usually it's the blue line.
It's the train. Yeah.
It's the train, or Jess has to go to the doctor. But I have never heard...
You've got a great list of excuses.
A clipper problem.
Yeah. I have a buddy who had that happen to him. Like, it was like his ex-girlfriend's wedding that he got invited to, and like he always thought she would be the one. And he's like, you know, I want to look good. And he's like a bald guy, very handsome guy, but a bald guy. And he like had let his hair grow out in these silly ways, and his clippers broke like halfway through.
Oh,
yeah. And he said it was like the biggest panic he's ever had in his life. Yeah.
This made me think of a story this morning. I worked at a big company, and there's a guy who really didn't do anything for the company. He kind of fell through the cracks for a lot of years. And his like 15 or 20 year anniversary is coming up. And he was going to get a big bonus, like, on that day. So HR tried to fire him, but he knew he was going to get fired. So he called in sick every day for, like, 2 weeks ahead of his anniversary. And finally, the day before, he called in because – and his excuse was, I have acne. I can't come to work.
Acne?
Yes.
Yeah. He's worked there for 20 years, yeah.
Yeah. So he just used he's made things up every day to be sick so HR couldn't fire him. Then he came in on his anniversary, got his big bonus, and they fired him.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
It worked.
Can you say what company that is?
The company is no longer in business. Arthur Anderson.
That makes it even better.
Man, you guys work for a big five consulting firm?
No.
I remember, like, I did, you know, when I came out of college, I did, and I was amazed. I thought it was all going to be like top men, you know, just geniuses. And yes. I was so intimidated when I started there, and I realized, like, there were, like it wasn't that, like, it, they were just, like, all over the map, the kind of people you met, you know, it was just weird to me. And I remember, like, they called it the bench. Did they call it the bench at your place?
Well, when you're consulting, you're on the bench.
When you weren't on a billable project, you're on the bench.
Yeah.
And, I remember, like, this guy, they're like, okay, we're going to try and do, like, this cross-pollination. And, like, I was, like, me and this other guy were the new Java, object-oriented dudes. And then we go in there, and, like, they're, like, two guys with ponytails that smoked constantly in their 50s. They were going to be the guys that taught us, like, procedural mainframe. Fair enough. But I remember, like, we first start, and I'll be explaining, like, how Java collections go. And the one guy just goes, any of you guys ever met an alien? I'm like, what? And he starts talking about how, like, you know, this alien has, like, come to his house a few times, and he's worried, you know, if it comes and his wife isn't there. This is, like, the first guy I'm meeting from Ernst & Young, you know. And then I'm like, is this going to be me? Like,
and these are the guys that got us over the year 2000,
the Y2K
right?
bug. Yes, they were working on Y2K work, and it had finished, and then they were there. And I'm like, oh, my God, is this going to become me? Like, I don't know programming. Languages well enough, so I'm just going to be a crazy guy that talks about aliens.
Yeah, pretty much.
We had one last story about big five firms. We had this new guy on our team. I mean, he was a great developer, did everything we asked him to, learned. He was fast, he was good, he picked things up, worked for us for like 3 months, and then one day, our boss pulls us into a conference room. We're sitting there, we're like, hey, where's Ryan at? And He's like, well, that's what I have to talk to you about. So this is how big fire firms fire people. They pull the entire team into one conference room, and the other guy gets invited to another meeting by himself with HR. And they keep us locked in the conference room until he's out of the building. But this guy, obviously, I mean, he worked for us for like 3 months. He lied on his transcript about his college GPA, which was years ago. And we're like, oh, what, he, you know, a couple 0.02 or 0.03. He's like, no, he added like 1.5 to his GPA. And like, we're like, but he's a good employee. We like him. Yeah. Nope. Okay. HR just walked him to the door. And
wow. Yeah. Well, that's insane. Yeah. Meanwhile, they're cooking the books for Enron.
Exactly. Meanwhile, they're like doing everything.
Nope,
illegal.
Honesty is all that matters here. You know.
It's a fine line, Sean, between, you know, what is right and what is wrong.
Yeah, we want the best, most honest men ready to lie for our clients.
They did it for their client. Yeah. That was the point.
And we were internal, so we didn't get rid of us. Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Anything for the client. So we got away from the holiday stuff. You guys, apparently there was a story about... toast gone awry or something? What did I miss?
A toast gone awesome.
Oh, yeah, this was Gavin's story. Yeah, this was great. Do you want to tell this, Gavin?
Yeah.
You had a great holiday dinner.
It was lovely. My little sister got proposed to. It was the first time, like, all of my family.
Congratulations.
I'm so happy for her.
You could be an uncle.
Wow.
Uncle Gavin.
Yeah. I don't like kids. Anyway. It was like the first time all of our family had been together. My mom keeps saying in like 10 years. That doesn't sound right to me, but I'm going to trust her on that. So we did like a family dinner, and my sister got proposed to. And so we go to my older brother is very religious, and my younger sister is, and so is her fiance. So we go to hold hands, and my brother, thanks the Lord for this wonderful meal and for everyone getting together and for family for being there.
That's your brother-in-law, your future, right?
No. This is my older brother.
Your older brother, okay.
So, you know, it's time for my, it's not time for, but my brother's or my sister's fiance kind of chimes in with his own little, you know, thing to add on, a little addendum, and he's got this southern accent, and he's like, he's a really sweet guy, but he's like, I just want to thank Jesus Christ and you know, our Lord and Savior for inviting me into this family, and I just feel so loved and so blessed to be in here. And he just said some really sweet things, and it was kind of like this really, I haven't had like a family moment like that in a very long time, and it was lovely and wonderful. And so a quick side note, my dad is formerly Catholic, and I think he gave up Catholicism for Lent and never went back. So I feel like, I don't know, maybe he was feeling a certain way about this moment. But after that, like, touching family, you know, heartfelt thing, he says, all right, now let's have a toast to my younger sister and to Grant, you know. And he said, you know what, why doesn't Trevor handle this one? Trevor is my younger brother who is a bartender. And you know, he's got a personality on him. So
not everyone, the most religious in the group?
Maybe not the most religious in the group. Well. It's to be determined. We'll see. He might end up that way. So, you know, everyone raises their champagne glasses, and he's trying to gather everyone around, and he starts out with, you know, come on, get over here, you pussies. Let's have a toast. Let's celebrate. Let's, you know, to the newlyweds or, you know, whatever. Yeah. Get over here, you pussies. And
are you kidding?
He's got away with words.
This is a scant 15 seconds after, like, you know, everyone
thanking
Lord
Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And you pussies, by the way.
And, you know, he said something. It couldn't have been more than 30 seconds, but it's just like, yeah, you know, great to be with family. You know, good people. Grant's good people. And, you know, thanks, Pops, for letting me do this toast. And he calls my dad Pops for some unknown reason. He just started a couple of years ago. So, yeah. So he's like, all right, there's the toast. And then he ends it, like, he ends everything with, like, the Swedish phrase for, you know, whatever means, like, drink up.
Oh, isn't it Salom, isn't it?
I'll go with that.
I think it's Salome.
It was something completely unintelligible because I know he butchers it every time. He's not even saying it right. And then he takes his like, you know, fine, you know, champagne flute and then does like you're going to do a shot and take it and he puts it down on the table and then drinks it like a shot. And then that was like, that was... That was a touching moment.
Get over it. So what are the chances he's going to be your sister's best man?
Pretty high.
Pretty high? Yeah. He's going to give the speech at the wedding.
Knowing your dad, your dad clearly like is subversive there. Oh, yeah. And your dad is probably going to get up to do a speech at the wedding. Go, you know what? Trevor. Why don't you bring this home here for me? Thanks, Pops.
Thanks, Pops. He can do a much better job of screwing this whole thing than I ever could plan to do it.
It was just like too much goodness for my dad. He just couldn't let it stand.
That's awesome.
But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was awesome.
Oh, God. As the only sober guy there, probably.
Yeah. And it was, you know, I'm not particularly religious myself, so it was fine.
Did you have good times. Laugh in the moment?
Oh, yeah.
In the moment?
Oh,
were
yeah.
people laughing, or was it extremely awkward?
There was some awkward laughter on my sister's part, because I think she's like, this is my fucking family. Please don't divorce me already. You know, like, let's not break up before the wedding.
Don't take the ring back.
And that's the last time you'll see them.
And we were joking beforehand, like, you know, what if it doesn't go well? And we had like really, really good. He told us he was going to propose. I guess obviously, I don't know. It never really occurred to me, but so we were having real good, like, good natured fun with him. Like, don't worry, we have a one way ticket lined up for you if it doesn't go well. Just really warm stuff like that. So
he did it with the entire family there, right?
Did it with the entire family there outside of the Bean in Millennium Park, just a little quiet spot, and they had a little moment away.
That's nice.
And how he got my sister away was, he said, you know, I'm kind of having a little anxiety. Can we walk away here? And so he, you know, in her mind, oh, shit, it's my family. They're totally fucking with this guy. So the first thing she says after he proposes is yes. And then, I thought they were being mean to you. Like, as she, like, tears are coming down her face. So, yeah, it was sweet, though.
That is very sweet.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, a very good family holiday. I like this. Mm-hmm. I like this a lot.
I could suffer in for about 10 hours. It felt like 4 days, but it was fun.
Well, yes, family is fun during the holidays, isn't it?
That's
probably, I don't have any funny stories, just painful for various reasons. In the news these days, have you guys been following the CES? The big CES conference is going on, Consumer Electronics Show,
yep.
where all the vendors are throwing out all their stuff. Have you guys looked at any of what's going on?
I have not been following it.
I checked it out a little bit this morning. I mean, it's nothing new.
It's my thing. It's like a big deal, and all of the stuff is...
Personal health. So people with their Fitbits and being able to, it's just the technology and, you know, these devices have been around for a long time. It's just they're in small circles. Like, I know our Australian listeners will know, like, cyclists and triathletes were following how many calories and, you know, what they're consuming, how much they're working out for a long time. But now it's hitting mainstream. So it's like house moms are recording how many calories they burn every day and how many steps they
take. Because they can wear something on their wrist
exactly.
and do it, as opposed to actually writing it down somewhere.
I saw today they have a smart bra. So it's a women's bra that has a like a
heart rate
sensor in it, and it tells vitals to the women without having to wear a strap. It's basically...
I mean, so
it's,
dudes are screwed? Or
dudes still have to wear a strap around there, but...
I could think of another way that could work, but...
Yeah, so...
Oh, you can't... like, a smartwatch can't get your heart rate from the vein?
They can. So Apple came out with one, and a couple other people, like Garmin, came out with one.
Microsoft has one.
Yeah.
Apple has one. Garmin
but
has
it's
one.
But it's not as accurate as actually having a strap around your heart.
Okay.
And they found, like, people with wrist tattoos, they don't work for. So if you have any wrist tattoos... Tattoos block your heart rate in your wrist.
Huh.
So it's kind of interesting, but and they talked about drones and things, and
that's,
you know,
the thing. So like it was The Verge, I think, I was looking at their reporting on it, and the big three were drones.
Right.
We've heard it before.
Yep.
Wearable health monitors.
Right.
Just talked about. And smart home devices.
And that's what I was going to get to next.
And so, go on. What were you going to do with
it? Well, they showed on the news this morning, they showed one thing that I thought was hilarious, which is a fridge that has, you know, has a computer on the, you know, outdoor of the fridge, but then you also have cameras on the inside. So you have an app on your phone, and if you're at work, you can, like, oh my gosh, I have to stop the grocery store. What am I missing? So you can actually look inside your fridge and see what is
cool.
What is low. And good, what you have.
I think this is cool.
Good luck with that. Really, but if it looks anything like my fridge, it's my
empty.
Fridge looks like a closet.
Exactly.
Yeah, with three kids there, right? That's jammed in there. And you'll just see like a little bit of a pork chop leg that is, you know, like on the, you know, milk. You know,
I'll tell you what you'll
see. It takes me a half hour to find like sour cream that I just bought that morning inside my fridge.
Well, I mean, eventually, I mean, this is like a shitty transitional product toward, it's eventually going to be, right, where it's going to be everything's like RFID chip or something, and you're going to
have the
exact
right.
contents of your fridge. This is just like a stuff.
Amazon already has these things that are kind of cool where if you buy groceries on Amazon, and my guess is Peapod has the same. We don't use Peapod, but we do a lot with Amazon with some of like our some of the stuff we regularly get, like applesauce or something like that, it actually figures out when you're going to be out of it. Like, and you can set up this flag on a purchase, and it just sends us the applesauce. So, like, as we're throwing out our last applesauce, Amazon has delivered a new one without us doing anything.
Nice. Is that the normal Amazon, or is that Amazon
Prime? That's Amazon Prime.
Okay, Prime.
Seriously, it's just timing based on
it's timing. So it has to figure out the timing. Yeah. So like you know, it like tells you, oh, you buy this every 6 weeks. Do you want it to just become a reoccurring 6 week purchase?
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
And you have to select that. It's not like they just
correct.
Applesauce shows up. And
no.
Fuck, I got three of these.
You have a smart garbage can that scans what you're throwing out.
Yeah. No. It's you have to select it as a but once it realizes that you have a recurring iteration behind it, it starts prompting you.
Right.
Like, do you want to make this reoccurring? You're buying this every N number of weeks. Why don't we just make it a reoccurring purchase?
I think they give you a slight discount too, don't they?
I don't know if they do on reoccurring. I don't think they do. I don't think so, but I'm not sure on that.
We do stuff that is tough to buy. So we have two larger dogs. We do golden retrievers. Dog food comes. But I've never seen the sort of recurring option.
Oh, you should. It's really it's nice.
It's just we ask for it. We say, we're getting a little low, and we ask for it.
I thought it'd be funny, like, having some sort of parental controls on this, like, picture-taking fridge. Because I know my beer, when I have it, is on one shelf. You know, I can see a guy trying to, like, you know, block that camera so it looks like it's always blank. So, you know, you're always out of beer, and the wife has to buy it.
When your brother-in-law is coming into town.
Exactly. Yep.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. I see your point. It's a stopgap, but no, I think Amazon's on a better track. You know.
Yeah, I don't see I think some of this shit, they're just proving that they can make it smart,
right.
But it's like that doesn't.
I don't want my fridge to be that smart.
Yeah, I feel like the traditional way of just looking in my fridge is actually easier.
Yeah.
And, you know, then, yeah, it maybe RFID tags would be maybe a little bit better, but
you have a partner in crime also, like, you're at the office and you'd be like, hey, are we low on
do you know what
I'll
the
get it when I go
what home. I think the biggest advantage would be is if you had a grocery list and you could walk into a store and they had an app that just sorted it by aisle.
Well, why don't you, I mean, there are services, what's the service, it's like Peapod, but basically Peapod's original deal was they delivered your food to your door, right? I don't know if they still do that. I assume
they do. Yeah.
But there are services like that where you go, look, here's my grocery list. Get it. Do it.
Yeah.
And they go and they do the shopping.
Sure.
And they have, you know, professional shoppers that do this whole routine. So that's really what you want. You don't necessarily...
Well, sometimes I don't mind going to the grocery store and getting it. It's just like there's certain items I'm like, I can't find this goddamn thing. You know?
Where is it in the store?
Yeah. But no, yeah, just actually tell me where it's in the store.
Because I don't go to the grocery store very often. when I go, it's kind of an adventure. I like that.
Yeah.
I like exploring and going, hey, I'm going to go down all these aisles and go, where is this thing that I'm looking for? Hey, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll look at that. Maybe I'll get some of that. So that's, you know, my take. I would rather kind of go Amazon and buying services for all the staples and all the stuff that's like regular routine, deliver that stuff to me. And then when I want to go shopping, I'll go shopping.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
You know, talking about the RFID tags and figuring it out, for me, it's, hey, I want to make something different, or I want to try, we were doing a Thai curry dish the other night, and I had never done a Thai curry dish, and so I found a few options. I said, oh, that recipe looks good. I'm going to do that. There were things on it. What I want to be able to do is go, do I have all of these things at my house now, or do I need to go to this? What do I need to get?
Yeah,
that would be cool. Now I've got a recipe where I know I have garlic, but do I have garlic right now? I know I have, you know, this spice. Do I have it right now, or am I out of that spice? That's the stuff that I would want to know. But as far as, you know, going to the grocery store and all, I understand your point. But that's why they have, like, there's somebody filling an aisle. You go, hey, dude, I'm looking for this. And he goes, aisle 3. And you're good to go.
Oh, yeah. Well, I feel it's like
talking to people?
Not to sound like an old guy, but sometimes it's so hard to find an employee. But, yeah.
Well, when you get your Google Glasses, there'll probably be an overlay.
Yeah,
in like
that's
5
true.
Years that will just point it out.
But I also go to the grocery store when I go in the evening. And they're always restocking in the, you know, in the evenings.
If you go at the right time, it's nice, you know.
There are people like every other aisle. They're somebody doing something when I'm at the grocery store. So, well, I CES for me was like John, you were describing, a relative bust from what I've seen. I wanted to ask about, we were into the smart home thing,
right?
I have smart devices, and I just heard Gavin bought something.
Yes.
You bought the smart light bulb.
Yes.
So
love it.
What does it do?
I can just control my light bulb with my phone.
On?
I can dim it. Yeah.
Are you tired of the hassle of revolving a knob?
Right.
This dumb knob.
Well, hey, he's got to get up on
that
the
only
chair.
Can go on or off.
Yeah.
Speaking of devices that don't
really
need to be smartified.
I have another device like that too, but go ahead.
How much did this cost?
The starter kit was like $70 for two light bulbs.
Why would you ever need to do that? Like why would you need to turn the lights on when you're not physically less than 6 inches from a lamp?
You know what, John? I don't want to tell you about my life, but what I really thought I was buying was the color one, but I realized I got the white one.
It sounds like it's just like an elaborate prank thing, like where you would fuck with people, you know, like it doesn't...
I'm trying to automate everything. And
just
hold on.
Automate it all. Just make everything smart, yeah.
I mean, like if I want my lights to turn on at a certain time, you know, something like that, but I have...
Those are called timers.
Automated outlet.
Little box.
Also I have a Wi-Fi
hours.
Outlet, Wi-Fi light bulbs, and a few other things I forget, but anyway... So I'm just trying to get everything.
And I'm guilty of this too. Okay.
Yeah.
So years ago, I tried to install a bunch of X10, which was a protocol that they'd send over the power line. So there was some little pulse that they would send over the power line to a switch in the wall that would, you know, just say toggle on or toggle off for light switches. But they also had relays for, you know, bigger things. So garage door openers and, you know, coffee maker, you know, turn the power on, turn the power off, whatever. You could do all of this stuff. It was terrible. It was buggy. It didn't work very well. I invested some stuff in it, tried it, failed miserably. And I've sort of graduated as things have gotten better over time. I'm still on that track, though. All of my, you know, Gavin, what you're doing is you have gotten to the end point where it's the light bulb itself that has that smarts and technology, right? And the colored ones, I don't know if you know, Hue is, who makes Hue? Philips. Hue is the bulb that you can, and I'm sure there are others, that you can literally say, you know what, when I watch movies, I want a purple hue in my room so that I can watch my movies. When I'm, you know, getting nasty, I want, you know, shocking pink in my whatever, right?
That's a good choice.
When when I wake up in the morning, I want sort of an amber glow that kind of comes. So all of this stuff that you can do with a single light bulb, it's cool, but it's cool for cool's sake. It's not, there's no real value.
It's not making your life easier.
No.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, yeah.
No, it's sort of showing off kind of stuff, right? So all of that hue stuff is what it is, but that's right down to the actual endpoint. I'm going to screw this bulb, which has all this technology into it. I'm at the outlet. I'm at the power source, and my I use Samsung just bought them, smart home or whatever. That technology, there's a little hub that communicates with the devices in my house, and it uses, a wireless protocol, not over the wire, but a wireless protocol to do all of this. So there's no, you know, standard Wi-Fi in any of this. It's a specific protocol for these devices. And I'm interested, just as it evolves, like I said, all this other stuff, who cares? I'm interested in how it evolves. What wins? Is it standard Wi-Fi?
Yes.
Does standard Wi-Fi have enough capacity, capability? Does it continue to grow to the point where standard Wi-Fi is going to do all of this stuff? Or these specific protocols and specific frequencies that I've currently invested in, they really have a value and retain some of that? I don't know. You're saying yes. You're saying
I totally
Wi-Fi.
Think Wi-Fi, yeah, 100%.
I think Wi-Fi will probably win because it's cheaper, but there are... I just read an article with... I forget which guy it was, but he's a very decorated security expert, and he was talking about this. Like, he was one of the guys who... I don't know if you saw that proof of concept where you can just disable a Jeep Cherokee remotely, you know.
Yeah.
And he's talking about how, like, these devices, like, we're just making them smart, but we're not asking about what are the security
implications
of that. And he was saying, one thing he was saying about, like, putting everything on the actual internet and, like, Wi-Fi where, like, other devices can reach it is, in his mind, a concern, you know.
Yeah.
Which might point to something like what you're saying where you actually get another layer of security by just being on a different... At least you would need to have a device that talks your device's, you know, frequency and language to hack it.
Right.
And you'd have to be within a certain distance. It's like if they're all on a wireless router, if I get into your subnet, I can hack them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. But to be fair, my little hub is my wireless connection. So this thing...
Oh, so it's on the internet itself.
Talks to the internet.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Talks to that hub.
So it's still, but it is an interesting concern. He was saying, he's like, you know, these places have concentrated on making their devices smart. You know, that's what their customers want. And they haven't concentrated on what happens if somebody wants to take advantage of that, you know?
And this is why, you know, like, I could tie literal door locks into my whole system, and I could, you know, workman shows up at my house. This is the theory. I do not have all of this, let's be clear.
Yeah.
But the theory is, workman shows up at my house, nobody's home. I say, get to my house and give me a call. He gets to my house, gives me a call. He's at my front door. I, like, look at my camera and go, hey, that's the workman. That's the guy who said, you know, I agreed with. I unlock the door remotely, and he walks in the house, right?
Yeah.
So, and then I've got cameras all over the place so I can watch what he's doing. That is a theory behind all of this. But, you know, what's – I don't want to put a network connect lock on my house, because what's to say that somebody can't hack in and say, oh – I can unlock all these things.
Sure, yeah.
You know, Schlage or whatever, these, you know, lock companies that produce this stuff. Hey, they build locks. They should be thinking about security. But at the end of the day, everything's hackable.
It's a back door everywhere.
There's a way in. There's a way in.
I love it. I'd play the odds, to be honest. I wouldn't even give a shit. they're going to figure it out eventually. I mean, maybe it'll take a long time and a lot of bad stuff's going to happen.
And at this stage, it's not that risky because – you know, burglar who's hacking has to find the house that has that device on it, right?
Yeah. I was just thinking, it would be really cool, though, and then, you know, so, like, you have an app to unlock a door, and then, you know, this guy's got an app on his phone, and you're just like, ooh, let me grant him permission, you know, and
to come
just, like,
inside.
Holds up his phone and go on it. And then, well, I was thinking also, but you can, like, there's literally all these security hackers, like, they'll, like, Mikko Hipponen, you might, he's one of, like, a famous, like, Swedish researcher or something. He might work for F-Secure. But anyway, so, like, he'll post all the time, like, all of these industrial systems that he found just using Google. Like, you know, and they have, like, they're exposed to the internet, and he'll be at, like, it looks like if you've ever seen, like, the operation for a brewery where you have, like, all these tanks and everything going on. I mean, there's so many critical systems that are exposed right now to the internet.
You can just blow a factory up.
Yeah.
You know, like, just do a Google search. You're like, oh, it's right there, the admin, you know. Like, yeah, it really is insane, you know. And I had a buddy who worked in international business, and he talked about that. He was like, you know, he worked in they basically buy factories in China. And he's like, dude, like, they don't, you know, the people at the ground level, they don't speak any English whatsoever. These machines all have embedded operating systems that are in English. They just turn it on.
Right.
And they don't know what the fuck it's doing, you know? And he's like, and it's no fault of their own, you know? And he's like, they're all exposed, you know, and it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Know?
Well, we were just talking about this with your server upgrade where we've got an OS that back in the day, certain things were just sort of on because, hey, you want to build a web server. You're going to want your web server to be accessible.
Yeah.
Boom, it's on. And now those guys that are building this are saying, wait, these things are off and need to be configured to be on. That's the way Wi-Fi devices were, right? When the first home Wi-Fi things came out, you know, the admin stuff was admin is admin and password is password.
Yeah,
that's the default. And, you know, grandma got it, plugged it in, and that was, you know, anybody could log into her Wi-Fi and configure her whole access to her network, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just the way it worked. They've gotten smarter. They're better at all of this, but they're still not any good at it.
Sure.
I think you're talking about the guy who, or there have been people who, like, tap into specific security cameras that are just publicly exposed.
Sure. Yeah.
On the internet.
Oh, yeah. There's a website for that where you can just watch people who have the default admin password on, and their security cameras are just online. It's just them putting their baby to bed in Russia, you know? it's a surreal thing to look at, you know?
You do this a lot, Sean?
No, but it was – the website got shut down, I think.
Okay.
And the guy kept saying, like, I'm not hacking anything. Like, it's, you know,
these are just publicly
accessible. They've bought a camera and they don't understand that it goes online.
Yep. I've got a really good segue. I want to say one thing.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So, actually, this is kind of apropos because Ukraine's power grid was just hacked. And analysts are saying this is new territory for potential military applications. It was hacked externally, just via the internet or whatever. So
Ukraine's
their power grid.
Do they trace it? Who got to it?
I just saw a headline, so I'm just reading it now. Really, so
any other CS stories? I had one other product that I thought was hilarious before we move on. They showed today a home pregnancy test that has a app. So basically, the woman has the stick. She takes out and she pees on it, and the app on your phone senses urine and starts communicating with the app on your phone. It does a countdown, starts playing music, and, you know, tries to calm the woman and shows her information if she wants to, you know, was this a planned pregnancy, yes or no?
Oh, so it doesn't just say
exactly. So it actually,
are you sitting down?
So yeah, that's pretty much what it does. It will say congratulations if this was planned, or give you links to places to go if it, you know, so it's
that's hilarious.
There are 34 centers near you.
Here are the directions, the nearest. But then if you are pregnant and it was planned, it'll start taking you through the cycles, and you should go see a doctor now, or go, you know, your baby's going to be born on this day, or just like things that are unnecessarily
Yeah, you don't need that.
You don't need that.
I mean, you totally. I'm imagining a really smart toilet now that can analyze. Anyway.
Absolutely.
You're not eating enough vegetables.
Yeah, yeah. Right, yeah. You have not pooped in 2 days. Yeah. Eat more fiber.
Oh, God. That's great. But, I mean, you know what? It's
we should
funny.
Get one of those for DM when it comes up.
Oh, geez.
There is always that trope about, like, not being able to read the pregnancy test. Like, it's like half a line.
Well, that's not what the you know what? They're not like that anymore because
they're
it's
not.
Funny. We had our first kid. We were still using the pill, so it was a surprise. Mm-hmm. Pregnancy, and we had a digital. And I remember, like, it was such, like, it was really shocked me when we got pregnant. And one of the things I thought was funny is the digital ones just blink pregnant or not pregnant. But it looks like an alarm clock after a power outage, you know, because it so and it's almost that same feeling where you just wake up with a panic and you like you don't know what time it is, you know, and like
I'm late for work.
And your wife is late.
Yeah. But yeah, they don't have any ambiguity in modern pregnancy tests now. They're all digital.
So now we have an app.
This whole like as you started that story, I was reminded of I don't know if you guys follow on some social media. I think my wife follows it on Facebook, but I fucking love science. Do
yes.
you know this?
Yes.
No.
I know who it is, yes.
It's great.
It's a young lady who started doing this because she really did fucking love science, mm-hmm. and she just would post interesting things, and it became, you know, blew up, and it's this big deal. But recently, there have been some interesting things that they've shown, and there was a video where technology and the sexual process, they literally, somebody literally for science sake put micro cameras.
We did it. Our company did it.
I thought you meant you and your wife at first.
We produced that video.
Yes.
Oh. No fucking way.
Where they put cameras on a sexual device for women and takes pictures and sends it.
No.
Okay,
no,
this
ahead.
Is a new one.
This is a different one. Okay, go ahead.
This is literally on a dude's penis.
Oh, and I haven't
seen
that.
And in a woman's cervix, or down by her cervix, and they
it's
put
a tumescence meter.
They put a camera on her nipple to mm-hmm. see, you know, the excitement of the nipple. And I mean, it was like the most ridiculous thing in the world. And it's, you guys should like just look it up because what's funny is they do it in a scientific way.
Yeah.
But it's porn, for God's sake.
Yeah,
I mean,
see, we
very
are,
HD.
Yeah. I saw a work in progress piece of work where they took a toy and put cameras on it. So when the women use the toy, it would take pictures and send it to her gynecologist. So basically, she doesn't have to go to the doctor because the doctor already has pictures of
I remember this.
The inside. Yeah. So.
Yep. Well, if you're ever wondered what it looked like in there, this camera actually captured the whole thing.
We have taken a turn.
another couple had sex inside an ultrasound machine
or something like that. Oh, yeah.
Along the same lines. Yeah.
But that'd be hilarious. Like, she
which
also
is not, I imagine, a romantic place. I would imagine it would just be like this
cold,
small
loud.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised.
Enough wine, you know?
Yeah.
Don't those things make a horrible noise too?
It's very loud, yeah.
I don't know if they didn't when we had pregnancy ultrasounds.
No.
That's
no.
different. No,
this
MRIs.
Is an MRI. It's
MRI.
No, but this wasn't an MRI though. I don't think that they used.
Oh, I thought
they
it was
used
an MRI.
Actual,
it was MRI.
I think they is it an MRI?
Yeah.
Oh, then it was an MRI. The MRI thing I always just thought was funny because we would always whenever my wife and I were expecting we'd walk by the MRI thing, it's like in the same area.
It's a tube like yeah.
And it's just all these warnings about like get metal off. And have you ever seen those videos of like people have actually died this way, like we're just some like absent-minded technician just is like walking in with like one of the electronic machines and he accidentally goes into the MRI machine.
Oh wow.
Or room, and I guess if it's on, I guess it's like the world's most powerful magnet. And there's really hilarious videos where it'll just like
hilarious
people
and,
dying.
Well, no, these are test videos where like they're training videos to show you how strong it is, but it'll just like you just like open the door and just like all the metal from the other room flies into this thing.
I think that's a little over the top because I wore my ring.
Oh, really?
A ring in last time I had an MRI and nothing happened.
Ring, I mean, gold isn't...
It's gold, I guess. So,
yeah, so it's not like probably pure metal.
But gold.
Are you saying my ring's not pure?
You got ripped off, pal. That's a plastic ring.
Gold is not magnetic, is it?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think gold is, yeah. No.
So I'm fine. That's why nothing happened.
If he had steel ring on, that would rip his finger off.
I'll find one of those videos. I'll save it till after the podcast, since it wouldn't really be anything to share on the podcast, but it is pretty funny.
So did you take a turn? Did you guys... have you followed up on the militia in Oregon?
Oh, I think this story... Doing? You know what's funny is... So if anyone has any ideas, tell me this. I was asked to perform as one of the militia members this Saturday at a show. So I've been thinking about this a lot, even though I don't know how I'm going to do it. But
you're going to want that comb over.
I am. But I do find it hilarious. First of all, that they overtake... a wildlife refuge.
Yeah, it's true.
Like they act like they're the first militia to put a W on the board against the U.S. government. It's totally unoccupied. The
Nobody
sheriff
cares.
Can't even get there. He's like, I don't even know how we're going to get there. It's like, the roads are all iced up, you know? Like,
nobody cares. You know?
Well, I also don't think they've fully understood how hard it is to actually divorce yourself from the country. Like, to get off the water supply, the electrical. So my guess is they're using the electricity that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like because you hear about that all the time. People that tried to create a commune, and it never works because they're like, oh, yeah, you know, like
cut
getting
power.
Yeah, like getting clean water is impossible almost unless you really know what you're doing, you know.
Right.
So it'll be – my guess is the U.S. government's eventually just going to cut power and wait them out.
Well, that's – so one of the recent things I was reading about it was the fact that there's, like, no law enforcement even there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They're just like, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, the FBI's got it. Who cares?
Yeah.
So that's how law enforcement's handled it. And – but these guys, like, the quote that I loved was that, you know, we're doing exactly what – Rosa Parks did.
Which they said today is amazing. Yeah.
How can you compare yourself?
Well, and the right that they want is they want to be able to burn federal land.
Yeah.
Like Rosa Parks wanted to ride a bus to her job that her tax dollars paid for.
And when she got arrested and she went peacefully and dealt with what she had to deal with.
This guy's going
to
go down.
They want the right to burn other people's land, you know.
It's just...
it's hilarious.
Chris. Hey, buddy, that's what my ancestors died for.
The right to burn land.
That's right.
Well, and you know, when it comes down to it, I mean, the guys, they burned their land, but it got out of control.
Yeah.
And it ended up burning federal land.
That was... Yeah.
If that would have been his neighbor, not mm-hmm. the government...
He'd have been sued.
Like, shit, you burned my land.
Yeah.
There would have been a lawsuit. They would have talked it out and addressed it. Right?
Yeah.
So it's just, I mean, private property, whether it's the government's property or your property, it's still you're not on your land doing your thing.
Yeah.
It's just stupid what these guys are doing. Totally stupid.
But we empower the federal government. We lend them our power, so it's our land.
Oh, so he should be able to burn. No. You know what? I'm going to – that's what I'll do. I'll sue.
Yeah. You should be able to drink outside on the goddamn sidewalk.
I'm going to sue those guys for burning my land because that's my land.
That's right. I agree.
Based on your theory.
I agree.
Yeah, it really is pretty hilarious. And then supposedly they're posting that they need snacks and stuff. I don't know. They're just like...
Yeah, they're asking for help.
Well, it sounds like
Which
it was kind of spur
what Rosa
of
Parks did, by the way.
Yeah.
You mean they didn't plan this out? They didn't think ahead?
A stash of Cheetos somewhere? Doritos? Come on.
It's very, like, it's very childish, like, in their actions and the response. It's, like, literally, like, fuck you, mom and dad. I'm going to go live in the woods. I'm not going to live with you anymore. And then the police department's just like, well, they'll tire themselves out.
Right. The U.S. government is being like a parrot. Yeah. Like, okay, well, we'll see you when you get hungry.
Right, yeah.
Good luck out there.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, you know, one of the things that is kind of interesting to me is, like, if you think about it, to a degree, a lot of our founding, they always say they're like the founding fathers. And I think there's more truth in that than some people are willing to admit. Like, Like, it does sometimes sound like our founding fathers were, like, cheap sons of bitches. Because, like, when you read, like a lot of, like, revisionist history, like, they talk about how, like, the colonists were, like, rich. They were actually being taxed. It was unfair that they didn't have a vote in Parliament.
Right.
But, you know, it's like, you know, somebody raises the tax on a stamp 1%. And they riot. You know what I mean? Like they, it does seem like they were kind of out of control.
And that's an issue?
No, I'm so, just, yeah.
So, in reference to petulant youth.
Yeah.
Which I think this is apropos of petulant youth. Did you see that North Korea
blew
up an H-bomb, yes?
They claim, right? They claim,
that's their claim.
They blew up the world's most powerful bomb.
Hydrogen and atomic.
Yeah.
But they blew up an H-bomb. I don't care what you say, John. Yeah. But what I like, and I don't know if you guys read the official announcement from Pyongyang or whatever.
No.
I haven't seen this.
So, I'm not going to read the whole statement, but you really should spend a little bit of time off the statement. So, the statement describes the nuclear device as, quote, the H-bomb of justice. Tested in, quote, the most perfect manner. It justifies the test as a response to the United States, which it calls, quote, the chieftain of aggression and a gang of cruel robbers, which has worked hard to bring even a nuclear disaster to the DPRK. Not content with having imposed the thrice cursed and unheard of political isolation, economic blockade, and military pressure on it.
They have a top-notch copywriter right there.
Yeah. I mean, I love the way
that is
these
great.
Legacy dictators talk, because they speak in... Remember Baghdad Bob? Do you guys remember Baghdad
no.
Bob?
No. Oh, yeah.
So, like, in the first Gulf War, when we were just, you know, kicking ass, Saddam had a Ministry of Information called Baghdad Bob. We forget his name, but we named him Baghdad Bob, but he would just say, like... If you could find his website, Gavin, maybe we could look up... The quotes were hilarious, but, you know, we were... You know, the statues are coming down and everything, and he's like, the Americans are committing suicide en masse like the dogs they are. We are winning the war. And he would just speak in that weird... Like, they use a weird... And I don't know if it's because their population... They don't allow their population to get educated, so they speak in this odd,
and I'm just
archaic.
I'm picturing this over like a really old radio, World War II radio, where.
Well, you know, I've read a little bit, but it is the language is just off.
Yeah.
The terminology is just off.
Yeah.
All of it is just off, and it's, you know, their second language, so you give them a little bit of slack for that, but. Given what they're doing, this is the literal beginning of this official announcement, the statement from the government of North Korea. There took place a world-startling event to be specially recorded in the national history spanning 5,000 years in the exciting period when all service personnel and people of the DPRK are making a giant stride, performing eye-catching miracles and exploits day by day after turning out as one in all, one in the all-out charge to bring earlier the final victory of the revolutionary cause of Juche. Whatever Juche is.
I think it's funny. It's like U.S. is like, no, we have cameras and sensors all over that country. That was not an H-bomb. Let's check our sensors and we'll get back to you.
All right, so that was Pyongyang, and here's some actual quotes from Baghdad Bob, the Iraqi information minister. My feelings, as usual, we will slaughter them all.
And this would be a question, like, how do you feel it's going?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
My feelings, as usual, we're going to slaughter them all. Next question. Press conferences were hilarious.
And they broadcast it.
Yeah, like, they broadcast, like it was in Arabic, so, yeah. Like, I would love to hear, like, the way he actually talked, but yeah, like, so we would be listening to the translated version.
Here's another great one. Our initial assessment is that they will all die.
They will all die.
Oh, we have them surrounded in their tanks. Yeah, just like so many ridiculous.
Oh, this is a famous one where he said, "This is when like, Iraq has pretty much surrendered. Like, we control the capital. Like, no fighting is going on. He goes, right. I triple guarantee you there are no American soldiers in Baghdad.
And at this time, we were...
I triple guarantee.
We had tanks marching on Baghdad in the Iraqi National Revolutionary Guard Corps, whatever the hell it is. You know, like...
Oh, the Republican Guard. Yeah, remember those guys?
Like,
yeah.
They had been putting down their arms and, like, fleeing in mass. And he's saying this, like, outside the gates. It was amazing.
Always remember, I speak better English than this villain Bush.
That's actually pretty funny.
Which is the senior who did speak pretty good English.
You can't put a price tag on a good PR person.
I know, yeah.
I believe this was number two during the Gulf. Wow. Unless he was there for both.
They are nowhere near the airport. They are lost in the desert. They cannot read a compass. They are retards. Jesus. I mean, this was the 90s and it was in Iraq under siege, you know.
All right.
It's no excuse.
Wow.
Well, and then what are we going to do? We're going to translate it to they are mentally handicapped, you know what I mean?
Well, we have another version of that, apparently. The
North Korean...
Wonderful North Korean government is spouting off a bit.
We should get him with Baghdad Bob. We're like, whoever the prime minister, like the guy for Iran is, maybe. Remember when they... who was the old Iranian prime minister? I don't know if you guys remember. He visited New York, and there were a lot of protests.
Ahmadinejad.
Thank you.
Yes.
And I don't know if you remember, like, so he actually took answers from students, which I kind of give him credit for.
Yeah, it was like Columbia University.
Yes,
like
it was. And they're like, you know, how can you justify hanging gay people? He goes, you know, and his response was hilarious. I don't know if you remember his response. He goes, listen, I know it sounds harsh, but the thing you have to keep in mind is there's never been a gay person in Iran.
That's exactly what
that was his answer. Like, straight
we
up.
Don't
and,
have
like,
them.
The audience erupts in laughter. So it really doesn't seem as harsh as it would be because we've never had a gay person. It's like, and then he just goes, next question.
That guy was great.
I just think to calm all this North Korea stuff down, we need to send Dennis Rodman over there.
Dennis Rodman needs to get back there.
We need to send the worm over there.
Yeah.
What a hilarious peace treaty armistice conference that would be.
Dennis Rodman.
A nuclear analogy. He's the cooling rod, you know, in the reactor.
Oh, that'd be great.
Oh. Well.
Anything else?
It's good to... do you have any...
Vendor Scum. We got to end on that. Yeah.
I do.
It's a new year. We're starting off our competition for 2016.
Which I thought was hilarious. It's similar to others. Because what's the theme of this holiday been?
Star Wars?
There you go. So... we had one where the vendor tried to talk like Yoda.
Yeah.
And this one was from a company called Park My Cloud, which I love the name.
Park My Cloud.
So it says...
You want a cloud is something static.
Right. So it says, hi, John. If you go to a showing of Star Wars this week, you'll more than likely see some geeks you know, techies, nerds, propeller heads, reformed Trekkies. There's also a good chance many of those folks are AWS customers. And unfortunately, while they're off in Wookiee land, their unused AWS instances are still running with costs adding up each minute. Wasteful Bob realized that with the entire development and QA team out during the holiday, his company's non-production development, test, and QA servers would not be touched for 72 hours. So basically...
That's
this
hilarious.
Guy is using, you know.
I don't
you should respond.
You can shut down those instances with a click of a button. What,
or
what's the
you should also respond like, listen, you shithead. It's not Wookiee land. It's the planet of Kashyyyk that the Wookiees come from. Okay?
Wookiees never lived on planet.
Wookiees don't speak our language.
And they would never call it Wookiee land.
I don't know where the fuck you get your information, or why you think I'm going to park my cloud with you.
Oh, yeah.
That's brilliant. I like that.
How's it going? Yeah. So.
Oh. Well, does anybody have anything that we have a few minutes left, but we should probably wind down?
No, I think we got to a lot here.
We talked a lot of geek stuff today.
Too much geek?
No, no, actually, today was not too much geek. Yeah, we had a lot of funny stories there, and yeah.
We didn't share too much on transformation, but that's okay. We'll pick up next week.
Yeah.
So thanks, everybody, for listening. I appreciate it. And what do we got? We've got, hopefully we'll have Dion back next week.
Yeah.
And we will be in the swing of things. So thanks again. Have a good one. Bye. You guys can say goodbye too.
Bye. We didn't get to Manziel.
We didn't get that next week.
Unfortunately, they're off in Wookiee Land. I love how we didn't even Google their place.